Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark today, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the words that you have given us. We thank you that Jesus has assured us that the little children are welcome among us because they are welcome into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we also thank you that he has told us that we must have that childlike faith. And so we pray that we trust you like a child trusts their parents. Hold us close. Comfort us. Let us feel your presence with us. And Lord, I pray that the words that I am about to speak are your words and yours alone. I thank you that you have asked me to share these words. And I pray all of our hearts and minds will be open to receive them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is known as Children's Sabbath Day. Not a day that we have the children lead the worship, although I did ask if the children could sing for us this morning. But it's a day that we want to recognize our children and to let them know how important they are to the family of the Wesley United Methodist Church. We want them to know how important they are to their schools, how important they are to their friends, how important they are to the communities in which they live. But most importantly, how important they are to Jesus himself. I hope that they understood how welcomed they are and that we are to welcome all into God's house. That we are to welcome family members who do not yet know that they are part of this wonderful family of God. That we bring them in and we share with them the love of Jesus Christ. The importance of Children's Sabbath is that it unites our communities across the nation. As you will read in the mission moment in the bulletin, it helps us to raise awareness of problems that our children are facing in our world today. Problems such as poverty, of gun violence, lack of health care. Problems such as sex trafficking, which I don't know how many of you heard, but 123 children were found in the state of Michigan this week who were taken and used for sex trafficking. The importance of Children's Sabbath is for you and I to explore and the text that God has given us, to understand the importance of the teachings that Jesus has given us, to call us to nurture and protect our children with love and justice. It's to help us engage people of faith in immediate and long-term action to nurture, to protect, and to seek justice for the children of our world. The hope is that this nationwide celebration of people of faith will be an inspiration to a larger movement for the children of our world. That it will give the faith community a voice of what the children mean to Jesus. What the children mean to us. I think we live in a world today, not out there somewhere as we often like to think, but right here, where we see our children living with difficulties and not knowing where to turn. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child by no means enter it." And we're told he took them up in his arms. He laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. As you hear this passage of Scripture, how many of you think of a picture such as the one that is on your bulletin? A picture of Jesus sitting with the children around him, touching them, blessing them. How many of us think of Jesus comforting that child who has been kidnapped and abused and misused? How many of us think of that child whose parents are so concerned of where they're going to get their next fix that it's as if they have forgotten they have a child? How many of us think of Jesus comforting that child when their parents are so stressed about their jobs and their everyday life that all they do is argue with one another, whether it's over finances or busy schedules, but the children are exposed to that constant fighting? How many of us think of that child that Jesus is comforting who has a terminal illness? How many of us think of Jesus comforting that child who has a chronic illness and their lifestyle is not like that of any of their friends? How many of us think of Jesus comforting that child that others are making fun of? Or the one who is bullied? Or the one who, as they walk down the halls of the school, are being whispered about? How many of us think of Jesus comforting that child whose parents don't pay their lunch money, and so every day they have to eat a peanut butter sandwich? How many of us think of Jesus comforting that child who on Friday takes home a backpack with food in it so they have something to eat over the weekend because there may not be food in their house? See, we have this image of Jesus gathering the little children around him, bringing them to his side and blessing them. But do we see the comfort that Jesus can bring to that individual child who is suffering? Maybe we do, or maybe we don't. John Michael Montgomery has a song about a little girl whose parents are drunk, and the father shoots the mother and then kills himself as she hides behind the couch. She is then taken and placed with a foster family far away, and they love her and nurture her and care for her. And one Sunday morning, they take her to Sunday school. She looks at a picture of Jesus and she says, "Who is that man? He was with me as I hid behind the couch the night my parents died." What if someone hadn't loved her enough to take her to Sunday school, to introduce her to Jesus? I know I've said it many times since I've been here in July, and I know I just said it last week, but we're in the fourth generation of unchurched families. So how will the children know? How will they know that there is someone there to love them, to comfort them, to bless them? Yes, maybe Jesus will come to them as he did that little girl in that song. But if that child has never heard his name, if that child has never heard the good news of Jesus Christ and what he has done for the world, how will they come to know him? How will they know there is one there for them in every need? How will they know about the free gift of salvation? See, it is our responsibility to tell them, to show them, to welcome them. We must love them as Christ loves them. But how can we do that? To be honest with you, I think here at Wesley we do a pretty good job of that. We serve breakfast on Sunday mornings. We have a Sunday school program from nursery up through adults. We have a children's message. We have a children's choir. Is that enough? It may be if they already are coming. But what about the ones who are not yet here? How many children do you know, or do your children or grandchildren know, who have never stepped inside a church? I don't know that number, but I can tell you I have walked the full length of Logan Avenue. And you would be surprised not only how many children have never been in a church, but also how many adults have not been inside a church. Why? Is it because they don't see the need of coming to hear the good news? Do they not see a need for the church? Or is it because we see no need for them? Jesus does see a need for them. He also sees a need for not only for that child, but also for that adult who does not yet know him. This passage of Scripture tells us, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." So it's not only children of a certain age, but also those who need to come to him with that Christ-like faith. This is a true story of a family I know. I took their daughter to church with one of my daughters many years ago, probably 30 years ago. When she saw the cross in the church, she goes, "Look, a giant plus sign." She had no idea what a cross was. I explained to her about the cross. After church, we had lunch, and I took her home, and that's where it ended. However, someone else in the community saw a need to reach out to this family. They started going to church, and the parents came to Jesus Christ. They became active in the church, and they grew in their faith. And their children soon accepted Christ as well. I regret to say, I didn't take that initiative. I was like the disciples, not seeing the need to bring the little children or those who were like little children in their faith to Jesus Christ. Even though at that time in my life, I knew who Jesus was. I knew that Jesus had died for the sins of the world. It wasn't for me to push my faith onto somebody else. But now I see things much differently. I still don't need to push my faith on somebody else. But what I do need to do is introduce them to the Savior of the world, as the shirt says the children gave me. I am not a miracle worker, but I can show you the one who is. My responsibility is to love people where they are. That's all of our responsibilities. Because everybody is at a different place. Some do not yet know Jesus. Some have just recently come to him. Others are in that beginning stage of their walk to the cross, while others may be almost there. We need to let others know that Jesus is there to comfort them and to bless them. How do we do that? We do it by building relationships. And we can't build relationships if we aren't willing to show others the love of Jesus Christ. We can't do it if we aren't welcoming to all people. And we can't bring comfort to others if we don't offer them Jesus Christ. So it's our responsibility to share that good news with others by blessing them through the love that we have for them. Today is Children's Sabbath, a day that we remember that Christ came to give children lives of hope and not despair. That's who we're to be. We're to give others that hope that is found only in Jesus Christ. I'm proud of our children here at Wesley. I'm proud to see that they see the hope that is in Jesus Christ, that they have found a way that they can help share that love as they give hope to the children in the United Methodist Children's Home in Mechanicsburg. As you have read in your bulletin, they're going to begin what is called a noisy offering. We ask you to bring your change in. And the fourth Sunday of the month, is that right? They're going to take up a noisy offering. They're going to collect those monies, and they're going to use that money to support the children in the children's home. And if you're unaware, most of the children who are in the children's home are teenagers. Some may be tweens. And there are children who come to the children's home for a variety of reasons. Usually they are removed by court order from unsafe homes or dangerous situations. There are children who have been neglected, children who have been abandoned, children who have been abused or assaulted. Many of these children suffer post-traumatic stress or other disorders. Often they are developmentally disadvantaged for their ages. The people who work with these children at the children's home teach these young people how to work through their pain, how to find new ways to cope. They help them to understand the situations that have brought them together in this home. And as they recover and heal, they prepare them to go out into the world. And they do that by assuring them that Jesus is with them, that Jesus is there for them, that he comforts them and he blesses them as he did so long ago. The world we live in may not be the same world that Jesus lived in when he walked here on earth. But what we need to remember is Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I pray that we here at Wesley see the need to bring the little children and those who are like little children in their faith to the arms of our Savior, to the one who is the miracle worker, to the one who can comfort and bless them in every situation of their lives. Amen.